this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Father, today, you are so amazing, Lord, and you want to do great and mighty things through us. And I've got one prayer, Lord, this morning, one main prayer, Lord, is help us to heal to you so that you may work with us, so that you may bend us in ways, Lord, that we cannot bend ourselves. Lord, I even pray that, dear Holy Spirit, as we spend time with you, as we spend time in the Word, may we always be bent by you. May we change our plans. May we change our hearts. May you be allowed by us to put new dreams in our heart. May you always have the place in our lives that you can just change everything the way you want. And so by faith, Lord, I pray that prayer. I say, Lord, come and change every heart. Come and mend every plan to your kingdom, Lord. Lord, take ashes and give beauty. Lord, come into our lives and do an amazing work. Come and work with us this morning. And everyone says, amen. Guys, we're on this harvest campaign, and it's really, really, really close to my heart, because that's who we are, a Shofar congregation. That's why there's a Shofar Johannesburg, right? If this was not dear to our hearts, the harvest out there, we would only have a Shofar Stellenbosch today. And it will maybe be, would have been a really big church. If we didn't have a heart for the harvest, there would be no Shofar Secunda. Definitely not. All right? And Shofar Europe and all those things, it's in us. It's in our fibers, right? And so what I want to do is, I'm not going to come here today and try and psych you up to be focused on the harvest. We're not going to try and rally you and so that you run out of the doors and start screaming in the streets. You can do that if you want to. That's okay with me. But I'm not going to psych you up. I'll leave that to you and George. But the last few years, actually since the day I gave my heart to the Lord, there's many things I was confused about. There's many mistakes I made. But from the beginning, I knew I was called to share my faith. For me, that was never a doubt. Listen, I did it the wrong way. I used the wrong tone. Often I was a Turner Burn preacher to my friends. It didn't go well. So what would happen in my life, in Res, for example, young George and some of the guys knew me back then, I'd have friends that would go to war with me, and I had enemies that wanted to kill me. Okay? I made so many mistakes. Often I had no love. I just came with, by the Lord, come on, you must repent. But from the beginning, I knew God wants to change hearts. And there's many times in my life, and I'll be honest, when I don't have faith, there's times when things need to shift, and it's like I need to, but Lord, where's my faith? I don't know. I'm going to just call other people to come and pray. The other day, our son, he was sick for like a week. We prayed, and friends came into our house, and they prayed one time, and he was healed. Sometimes I don't have the faith. I'm just honest with you guys. I'm just transparent. One thing I know, without a doubt, and I seem to never struggle with this, and this is one thing, God wants to save people. When it comes to that, when I walk into a new environment, whether it's a bride, whether it's a party, whether it's on the rugby field, some of you know that's the area I like to focus my ministry at the moment. When I walk onto those fields, I don't have a doubt God wants to save lives. There I have faith. It's almost like having faith and having a heart for the harvest. It's like my heart needs this maintenance plan, all right? Like a good car. I often need to be maintained by the Holy Spirit to stay fresh in the ministry. Some of you don't know what I'm saying right now. Others will say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. But what I want to do is I want to talk about my relationship with the Holy Spirit a bit this morning. And I hope that it encourages you in your relationship with the lost. I hope that it gives you a heart to go out in whatever that means for you. Wherever you find yourself. Some of you are going on missions this year. take it for you. Some of you can't go. You are sending others. Some of you will contribute to the harvest campaign. Some of you will pray. But wherever you are, this is my journey. This is what keeps me going. And I plan to keep on going until I die. All right? And that's why I don't want you to run out of the streets and scream and shout and tomorrow we're back. I would like to impart something in your heart that will keep you going forever. Is that okay? For me, it's a bit, today's sermon is a bit like rugby. Okay. Everything is a bit like rugby for me. So please excuse me. Now, yesterday we played a team, the Fall University, and we thought they're going to be strong opposition. At the end, we beat them 97-0. All right. I don't know what they do at that university, but they don't practice. All right. Now my job in the team is I'm the organizer. I organize 15 men on the field. I organize everything from lineouts to set moves. I get the guys together. So when it's a lineout time, I need to make sure someone gets the ball and it goes to the back line because they're dangerous. Okay. I don't get the shine. Those guys score tries all over. I didn't have one moment of glory yesterday, but we were organized. That's my job. And for me, today's sermon is a bit like this. I didn't look for stuff to now come and impress you with something I found in a verse and no one actually saw that Greek word and now I'm going to tell you what it's about. I'm going to take you to the set phases, all right, that wins matches, all right? And I want it to be set in your heart. Is that okay? All right, let's do that. We can go to the first slide. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And then there's this long list because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound. This is a long list of stuff that God wants to do through us. All right. It goes beyond giving someone a great Sunday. We're talking about changed lives. We're talking about marriages changes. We're talking about communities changing unto God. But it starts with one thing. This very important phrase, the Lord God has anointed me. What I just want to say before we go on is God needs to do something in me before he can do it through me. Right? Something needs to happen in my life, and the same for us as a congregation. Before it can happen through us, it must happen to us. God needs to come and do something in our hearts. Put something on us. All right? And send us. All right? And I just want to leave it there. I'm just placing out some foundation before I go on. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now, if you want to, you may not name your son that. Okay? Zerubbabel, that doesn't go down well. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I'm going to end up by giving you just five areas or 5 points for my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And before we get there, I just want to say, there's verses like these that helps me to sleep as a pastor. Okay. It takes a kind of pressure on me that the enemy loves if I put it on myself. And the same for you. Any person, if you've got a heart for someone out there, there's someone you're praying for. If there's a family member that you cry out for. If you're at the workplace and there's a group of people and you really pray and love and trust in God for them, or you are a small group leader or facilitating some other thing and your heart is for the lost, you need to get this to get longevity in the ministry. There's stuff you can do and there's stuff you can't do. And I just love it. I just love it to go, whether it's moving to Secunda or going more specifically on the rugby field or in a new group of people at a bright, I know I cannot change someone's heart. And I love it. That means because after I've loved, after I've shared, after I've prayed, I can sleep. All right? After I've preached my heart out and there was one person who like put their hand up for prayer, hey, I've done all I can do and then I stand. And I go to bed and I sleep. I can go home and have a great time with my wife, with my family, and spend and be just baddies, all right? God can do stuff that we cannot do. And I want to say that when it comes to the harvest, is get that right. Shift that thing in your heart. Say, Lord, what must I do? What is my work here? I'll tell you in short, it is to love and to share and to love and to share and to bring near and to love and to share and wait for Him to do miracles. Amazing. I love it. That's how I pastor. That's why I pastor. When it comes to registration for stuff, I don't stress. When it comes to seeing 1,000 people come together for my event, I don't stress. Lord, if this thing is, if you're telling me to do this, we're putting this up, this is, guys, this is what we're going to do. This is going to be great for you. Stand back. Now you must work. Now I can sleep. Okay? If I put those things on myself, there's so much pressure on me. It affects me. Next thing, it affects my marriage. It affects my family. It affects my friendship. It affects my joy. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God that the harvest will be reached. The harvest. Yeah, there's a harvest in Joburg. Amen. We spoke about it at the Pastor Summit. I'm not sure how many churches, but there can be a lot of shofars in Joburg alone. And other churches, they must all come and help. There's a big harvest. So I'm talking about the harvest here. Please, I'm not talking only about an island somewhere in the South Pacific. All right? Including that as well. I'm talking about the harvest at your workplace. All right? I'm just going to jump into it. Number one, the Holy Spirit is active in saving you. Okay? The Holy Spirit is active in saving you, and He is active in any work, anything that happens in your life that brings you one step closer to God. That's the Holy Spirit. And anything that will happen in someone's life that you love, that you share, that you disciple, every step they take is by the Holy Spirit. It's not by you. Right? He partners with you. That's a great honor. Let me just read the scripture. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the best evangelist in the world. All right? And my privilege is to walk alongside Him and see these amazing things that He does. And then He gives me little jobs. Okay, now speak to this person. Now love this person. You know what? I'm always amazed by this. Can I just ask, who's got a kind of a heart for evangelism? Who loves to see people turn? Can I just, don't be shy. Okay. Now, you need to be in dark places at the regular frequency, if you want to see people saved. This is just maths, okay? You need to be surrounded by unbelievers if you want to see people's lives change. Okay? That's, I think, but I shouldn't say it, but I think, duh. Okay? But it's the truth, alright? Now, my place of darkness is a rugby field. You know what? There's people there. Grown men. I can show you a WhatsApp. You won't believe it. I can, it's still in my mind. So this guy, he goes up, he goes on the field. He swears. We've got a WhatsApp group, right? The stuff that gets posted on that group is not good for me, all right? So I need to be forced with a delete. But I'm part of that group because I get those guys, okay? I make an impact on their lives. So this guy's going off, swearing stuff. And so now I go personally, what's wrong? What's going on with you? I'm going to delete you from the group because I'm the admin. So I take him off the group, okay? So after 2 hours, I put him back because he's now cool down. Now he leaves, okay? Because he's not, okay? So I message him, what's up with you? You need to get in line. So now he tells me, you know what, Faris, I'm really having a bad day. Things not working out for me. And the only thing I say, listen, his name is Johan. So Johan, I back you and you've got a future. That's all I say. So he messaged me back, you made me cry. From firing, swearing. You know what, there's so little love in this world. There's dark places is dark because there's no love. Those guys go out in the mines or in the business world and they just get a hard time. It's just, they never rest. And sometimes just to go next to someone and say, It's good to have you here. That hasn't happened to that person for a month. We're getting used to it. We're spoiled with love in church. That's great. Growing that even more. And so the Holy Spirit partnered with me in such simple ways, and then He just starts to change lives. And I want to say this for you, to you. The Holy Spirit wants to make you a walking life changer. All right? People's lives can change with just one meeting with you. And that's something I put my faith out for. Especially as our church are growing. In the beginning, I could get to everyone. Lord, one meeting, one coffee, just one moment with a person can change that person's life. Because you are partnering with the Holy Spirit. One meeting. And you know what? Most of the time what I do is I sit around that table and I encourage that person for half an hour. That's a lie. That's not true. You can do it. I'm telling you, you've got a future in God. I'm telling you, He wants to do something with your life. Yes, I know where your marriage at. Let me tell you something. He can change. There's a guy, his wife legally divorced him a week ago. I'm standing in faith with him that they will come back together again. He's not saved yet, but already I'm telling you, you fight for your marriage. In the meantime, he's flirting with other women still, okay? Especially those in our church. So I've got my hands full. Okay? So, but just by giving him hope, he wants to spend time with me. God's going to change his life. And I'm still staying in faith for his marriage. But the Holy Spirit is doing all these things. So after I've had that moment, after there's a moment with the harvest, God, now you can work. And I pray and then I can sleep. Does that make sense? He's active in saving you and he's active in saving. As easy as that. It makes my walk with God sustainable. God is very smart. He works these things out for us. Amen? And so I think Annie and young George, you guys do the same. I never worry about church size. And it's actually some pastor in America says this, and this is very good. He says, I don't want to build big churches. I want to build big men. That's just amazing. Okay? Holy Spirit works with people. He changes hearts. And I said there is a one in saving you, but I'm telling you now, every step you take closer to Him, every time you hear His voice, it's Him. He's working. He's working. I love this. This is awesome to me. I'm not going to be long today. He's active in changing you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. And it's, what amazes me is this, that God knows that we cannot reach the harvest, the world, without the church, right? Okay? We cannot reach the harvest unless we do it together. Are you with me? All those things has got to do with relationships. Every single one. When I just got saved, coming from a traditional background, I was all about the gifts of the Spirit. It's all that mattered to me because I went crazy about it. The longer time I spend in ministry, the more this becomes important to me. This is what keeps my relationships intact. This is what's going to help me to reach the harvest. Okay? Love. Someone to love. It's because you're frustrated with someone. Joy, peace. All those things has got to do with what happens in here. All right? So can I ask a few honest questions? Can I do that? Will you put your hand up? I won't put you terribly on the spot. Who have you felt irritated the last month? Okay, that's everyone. Okay. Okay. Who felt in the last month that you are not as faithful as you'd like to be? All right. Okay. Who felt at least at one stage, I think I can be more gentle? Some of you. All right. Okay. Now, let me say this. If you feel something like that in your heart, in church or at home, if you're spending time with God, worship Him because He's busy with you. Okay? That means He is busy with you. That is a gift. The fact that the Holy Spirit is involved with you, speaking with you, building you up for a bigger purpose. And I'm telling you now, the longer I'm a pastor, the more I pray for these things in my life. Lord, help me with this. Why? Because He's preparing me to carry that which He prepared for me. A calling gets carried on these things, not on the gifts of the Spirit. Please hear me. This is your character. This speaks of spiritual maturity. We see mighty men in the kingdom doing miracles, and then the next thing, it just, the whole thing falls to the ground because there's no depth in character. If God is talking to you about one of these things, worship Him. He's busy with you because He's preparing you to carry something. It's going to reach nations. It's going to reach your workplace. But once again, He's the one changing me, and I love that. But now what I love about this even more is that when I'm frustrated about someone else, I know again I can sleep because I don't have to change that person that you're working with, your family member, your friend. You cannot do it. It's not your job. You can pray, disciple, lead. You can partner with the Holy Spirit, but He will do it. I can sleep again. I like sleeping. You pick that up, eh? You know, we get frustrated. You know why we get frustrated in ministry? We get frustrated because we want to do what we cannot do. And so we're frustrated. Okay. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Keep it down. Frustration is when I want to do what I'm not called to do, what I cannot do. And I like to move at a fast pace, I'll be honest. So what often happens is I find myself 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I realize I've been out of my mind frustrated this day. And I just stepped out of my role in ministry. And I want you to just make a mental note for yourself, because I know I love that people you work with. I know you love your small group. Make yourself a mental note. Ask God, am I doing what I should do, or am I trying to take your job? Pray, love. Pray, love, and eat. Some of you got that. This point is very dear to my heart. And ek is baie stout, so this is relevant for me a lot of the time. He can be received or He can be grieved. The Holy Spirit, this is so dear to me. Because when I get going, I get going. I go in a direction, I want to do stuff, and I've got ways that I want to see people get saved. I've got my perceptions about how I want to do things, and then often the way I act is not good for the relationship with my helper. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Because God talks about corrupting talk and stuff that comes out of your mouth. And then He goes on, Ephesians 4, verse 30, next verse, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then He goes back again, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. All I want to say is that I need to be aware when it comes to me being a fountain running over for God is I need to partner with the Holy Spirit if anything's going to be done. But in my life, in my heart, in my speech, in the way I do my day, I may welcome the Holy Spirit or I may create distance with the Holy Spirit. Right? And that's very important for each and every one of us to understand. And I've come to notice this, that my relationship with the Holy Spirit can be compared in a certain sense a lot with my relationship with my wife. Often, if it's going well in my marriage, it's going good with my relationship with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how it works that way. Because it's almost like in the same way I think about and being aware of how I'm treating my wife, how I'm loving her, in the same way God is teaching me to be so aware of my relationship with my partner, the Holy Spirit. The one who walks with me, the one who helps me. And this is something that runs through my mind like a tape. And so I want to say just a few things here. Well, let me just say this. The Holy Spirit, the love language of the Holy Spirit, right? It's realness, repentance, obedience, honesty. He's got so much grace for me. But I ask myself often, am I right now creating a distance between me and the Holy Spirit? Remember where I'm coming from. What I do today, my relationship with God, I want to do, I want to sustain it until the day I die. All right? So I want to walk with the Holy Spirit, and that's my prayer for you guys as well. What I want to say here as well, this is what I've learned the last while. When it comes to the harvest, when it comes to those people in the dark places, right? I can receive them or I can grieve them. I can create distance between me and sinners or I can bring them closer. And that's what I mean with my example on the rugby field. The way, when I go to the lost, there's a way in which I love towards them that can bring them closer, push them away. All right? And often the way in which I love, the way in which I approach to evangelize, which maybe sounds weird to throw it in there, but that's, I know it's the best thing to give someone is eternity, amen? My love often is the way that they see God. All right? Because, yeah, you know what? I'm the pastor at the rugby club. All right? So that sets up a way that they view God. But you're also the believer in your workplace. You're the believer in your family. Right? And the way you align yourself towards the lost should create closeness, not distance. And I know it's not easy, amen? But the moment when your love builds a bridge, the Holy Spirit starts to work. There's this one guy. I want to tell you a few stories if you don't mind. So my friend came to my house, and he, at that stage he was only 3 months saved. And there's this woman that came with him because her boyfriend just kicked her out of the flat with the little baby. All right. So now she's moving into my friend's house. Suddenly she's got nowhere to go. He kicked her out. Okay. And the baby was young, 2 months. But now my friend is a big boy. I'm small. All right. He is, guys in town, they're very scared of him because they don't know he's saved yet. All right. He's only been saved 2 months. And he was used to being, you know, in bar fights and stuff. Any case, so now this boyfriend that kicked this lady out won't let go of her fridge and of her washing machine and bed. So now he says, no, she can't get those stuff. Okay. But now she's staying at my friend's house. Now I see him every day getting more angry. All right. At one time he comes to pick me out. We're going to go get those stuff. Now I'm in his Mahindra and I'm praying. And he's driving around the corner. Now I must tell him, even that guy, all right, if he should decide to change his life, he must be able to come to us. But what he's about to do now is going to create big distance because he's going to go in there and sort this out with his fists. Okay. Now I'm talking with him. I say, listen, buddy. You know what's the right thing to do here? But I actually want to smash the guy's head as well. So that's a problem. Okay. So we get to the guy's house. And when Niels gets out of the car, that's my friend. This guy said, oh, here's a washing machine. No problem. Here's the bed. Everything is sorted out. No problem. We load it up. Done. 1 month after that, that guy phones me. Can I sit down with you? I want to change my life. You see, the way I live, even with someone, and he's wrong, right? He was wrong. He was sinning. He was putting a little, you know, young lady with a baby on the street. But God still wants to save him. And so I had to approach the situation with such a way that I can still say, you have an open door to my life. It's very difficult. And that's an extreme situation. But we can estrange sinners from ourselves or we can bring them close by the way we love. Amen. Number four, he empowers you. Very important. Again, I like to sleep, all right? He needs to do something in me before he can do something through me. Comes back to that every single time, all right? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Right now, even as I'm preaching, even though I prayed about this, I know that right now, the person that I am, stuff needs to happen in me for me to do this. And I love it. Okay? Because I've learned to rely on God when it comes to preaching and leading to such a way that I don't stress about it anymore. I do all I can do, and then He must come and do something in me. He must come and empower me, and He must do the same for you at your workplace. You know why? Because there's no lines between what I'm doing now and what you're going to do tomorrow. Those lines are gone. You have a pulpit at the workplace over and out. It's your people. Okay? Can't say it's your congregation, but it's your harvest field. What I'm doing now, you're doing tomorrow. And what God wants to do through you tomorrow, you cannot do. Praise God, because He's going to do something in you so that He can do it through you, so that you can sleep. All right? The stuff He wants to do through you is too big for you. And I just love that. I just love that. I just love to be used by God. Not take the honor. Just do what I'm called to do and be Varis. God does an amazing work. If you feel overwhelmed by your circumstances, if you feel overwhelmed where you're, even if you're going to go on missions for the first time, if you feel overwhelmed, it's not a bad thing. Just give it to God. Just say, God, this thing is too big for me. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't even know where to start, where to finish. Come and do something in me so that I can do for you what you want me to do. I love it. I love the way the Holy Spirit works with me. Thinking about it, there's not a lot I can do. It's not going good for me at this moment. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. And you know what? Some of us are in bondage because of this. Some of us in this place this morning, you're actually in bondage because you take so much on yourself. You take so much pressure on your own shoulders for stuff that you want to see happen through your life that actually wears you down. All right? And I want to challenge you guys. Give back to God the responsibility that's His. Give it back. You're not going to make it if you carry that on your own. You're not called to do it. I want to say this. Because the Holy Spirit is in you, there's an attractional force in your life. People see something in you. You become a walking lamp. All right? And you guys are going to change your workplace. I want to tell you that. I love it that people are taking up, and I see it in my congregation as well. People are going for their workplaces now. They gone are the days when they think, okay, if you're a good Christian, you come to church, you're a bit better, small group leader, bit better, next thing, bit better, pastor. That's where I need to go. Listen, you are where you need to be. You're going to change your workplace. One heart at a time, because He's going to do it through you. And I'm getting excited about this. So, one thing I believe is one thing that I've got really faith for is I know that people is attracted to be with me because God is in me. Okay? I know it. I've got faith about that. So what I try and do is I try and plan my life with the mission field in such a way that I get moments with people when I'm alone with them. All right. So this was actually the first guy that came to our church. So what happened is we supposed to play a rugby match in Nigel. Fekuk Palace? Eh? Also. Coming up to Mpumalanga has really enriched my life. All right. I've been at Orkney, Nigel, Brakpan, Boksburg. I've only heard about these places. Now I can't go back. Okay. Anyway, so now they organize a bus, all right? But now I realize this one guy, he's got a family, all right? So I go to him and I say, listen, you've got a wife, and his wife is pregnant because his phone is permanently with coach on call for if she needs to go to the hospital. So I tell him, listen, why don't you ride with me in my car to Nigel. And then after the game, when those guys are having the post-match celebration, whatever, we just come back immediately. Because now I know it's about an hour and 20 minutes from Secunda to Nigel, and it's an hour and 20 minutes back. And if I can get a time with him, God can work. I just want to create a platform so the Holy Spirit can work. And so we drive in the car and we chat rugby on the way there and God on the way back. Because now after the game, it's like, yo, you know what? I like to watch Twilight and those things, but my wife, she says it brings demons into our house. Okay. I'm like, whoa, Lord, you're moving at a speed. Yes. Now he's opening up. But now the time when we got home, he committed. I didn't push him, but he said, I'm going to see you on church Sunday. So he got out of the car, went to his wife and said, listen, those Twilight movies brings demons into our house. I said, I'm not going to watch it anymore. And so he told her, we're going to go to Varna's church this Sunday. She said, no. She was scared, but he made a commitment. He's a man of his word. So he took his wife, brought her to church. God saved first members, first locals. All right. Moments with people can change their lives because God is in you, because you are great. I just have faith for that. That there's something in me that people longs for, and it's God. And I must just make sure that I don't think or let people understand it's me, because it's not. And so many, I've got probably 10 of those stories of isolating people to spend time with me, and then their life changed. As easy as a 4-minute drive, I have a car, all right, but I ask someone to come and pick me up for a braai. 4 minutes in their car. Good to see what you've been up to this week. Start there. Next thing, they open up. There's something in you that can change lives. The Holy Spirit wants to partner with you, and He will do it. He will show you what to do to bring the harvest in here and in the world. Amen. And this is the last thing I want to say. I just want to switch over pastorally. I want to say He's a comforter. I will ask the Father and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Guys, this is the line outs and the scrums of Christianity. Okay? Right? This is not the guys will know what I'm talking. This is not the Sonny Bill pass or the Quade Cooper step. This is the stuff that wins you matches, all right? This is the stuff that sustains you until the end. We've got a comforter. If you want to pour out your heart for people, let me tell you what. You put your heart out there, your heart will get hurt. I've cried over people that has never shown me one moment of love. I've cried because that's how much I love them and pray for them. I've seen people get divorced. They don't cry. I cry. I've seen people come to church, have an encounter with God, and never see them again. They don't cry. I cry. Because my heart is out there. If you're going to love people, your heart's going to be out there. You need a great comforter. And it's a comfort that goes a lot deeper than even what my wife and I share. It comes down to my making, what God has made me to change lives. And in my perception right now, I can't do it. And I'm broken, and only God can minister to me there. So that I can do what I'm doing until I die one day. I need a comfort in my life. I tell you one story of success. For every success story, there's 10 that fails. I also want to say this, just because you don't see change immediately doesn't mean that massive things is not happening. Every time you pray, spiritually something has happened. Every time you love, every time you give, every time you bring near. And some of you, I want to encourage you, because you've only given love and you only got back pain. Endure. Because you've got a comforter. Those people don't have a comforter. Don't seek for comfort from the harvest. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit comfort you. Just give to the harvest. Let them walk over you. Let them, you know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm talking about your heart here. You pray for them, they swear at you. You go to the Holy Spirit, He comforts you. You love them, they ignore you. You go to the Holy Spirit. If you don't do that, you're going to cease praying. Guarantee. Cease loving. All right? Because you can only go as far on your own motivation. Access the comforter. Okay. People don't pray at 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay. But our church is at 5. So I tell people, I'll often say, don't pray on Sunday afternoons when you must worship. Okay. Pray on other nights. Pray Monday, Tuesday. Don't pray Wednesday. It's a small group. Okay. Pray Thursday. Pray the whole of Saturday. But when there's an appointment and God wants to come into your heart, comfort you, don't pray. Okay. Cause meat's not going to help. Meat is great. Okay. But I want to encourage you guys. You want to minister out there and you guys are doing it. Don't miss church. It's where He's comforting. It's where He's placing your heart in line when He is helping you, healing you, giving you courage. Because people here will give you hugs, will pray for you, will celebrate you. The harvest won't. Only after they meet Christ, they will start to be disciples. Amen? All right? I'll say to you straight, I've busted my, for those guys at the rugby. I've done everything I know to do, and most of them. But for one turn, after 6 months, I need to go to a place where people then celebrate me, love me, hug me, lift me up so I can go out again. You need the same. You work just as hard in the harvest, if not harder. Because I take a lot of my time to prepare what I'm doing right now. And you guys receive it with love. This is good for me. This is easy what I'm doing now. This is cupcakes. I'm preaching, you smiling, you nodding. I make a joke, you laugh. All right? I go home, yes. Out there, it's a war field, man. You need a comforter, amen? Walk with a comforter. This is the easy part. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge of the fear of the Lord. He's there to help. He's there to be with you, to give you wisdom and understanding and counsel. The Holy Spirit sustains ministry as a comforter. If I'm not comforted by the Holy Spirit, my ministry is not sustainable because it's giving and it's brutal.